Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, December 28th, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA meeting room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and you would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-Revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, Thy word tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death, and that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. But by thy grace you have given us the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the ability to receive your gift of salvation. We confess that we are not worthy of so great a salvation. We pray for mercy upon our loved ones, and we again ask for your continued blessings as we look into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're in Revelation chapter 11, picking up in verse 15. This is the seventh trumpet. This is the third of three woes. The last three trumpets, which was trumpet number five, was the first woe. Trumpet number six was the second woe. And trumpet number seven is the third woe. And that's what we're going to be looking at now. Now, this here, those three woes are chronological. We know that because of the way God ends each one of these things. You know, let's just go back a little bit to the first woe. I think it's, let's see, that's the seventh trumpet. Okay, there's the second woe. And here's the first woe. Now, at the end of the first woe, when we read, and this was in Revelation chapter 9, and we read in verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more and more hereafter. So we know that that woe came first, and the next two woes come after. It is chronological. The rest of everything we've been looking at is really not chronological at all. It's very dimensional. We get pictures and different pictures from different perspectives. We get pictures, spiritual pictures. And again, we have to kind of puzzle it together. And maybe by the time we get to the end of this book, maybe we'll go through the entire book one more time very quickly without looking at word studies. Might be able to do that in one study. Maybe it'll take an hour and a half, 2 hours to do. Just read through the book of Revelation. And follow through with the interpretations that we have found. And at that point, I think it'll give us a much better view on how this all works and comes together. But of course, first we have to sort of dissect each part of these paragraphs, these chapters within Revelation. Okay, so anyway, the fifth trumpet is the first woe. And as we go down, we see the second woe. And the second woe brings us to the four angels being loosed. And when we come to the end of that, let's see. The seventh thunder. You must have missed it there. I know at the end it says there's one more woe, or the second woe is now past. Okay, we see that there's two woes. Well, let me do a word woe. That might help me find it a little quicker. One woe is past. Okay, maybe it doesn't say it after the second, but I think the third woe comes in. Okay, the seventh trumpet begins to sound. Now this is kind of a sort of a picture, but the real focus, a picture of the end days, but the real focus is on Judgment Day itself. when we come to this third woe. We looked at the signs. Okay, yeah, that's the end of it. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Okay, and that's where we ended up last night, Wednesday night. So we can see this is chronological. Now, again, we're going to look at the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe, and after we finish that, we'll be opening up in Revelation chapter 12, which we probably won't start until next week. We may finish a little early tonight, I'm not too sure. But then we're going to get other pictures. We're going to get a picture of the sun-clad woman, which is the body of Christ. We're going to get a picture of the red dragon, the man-child, Michael, the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to be starting to look at the first beast and the second beast and so on, the Lamb and the 144,000 and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of pictures that we have to look at. And again, we have to kind of puzzle them together. At the same time, I want to try maybe towards the end is puzzle it together in a time sequence. And again, I could be off on that. I know I've been shuffling along on that for quite some time, made many changes over the years, sometimes even reversing back to what I had thought before. But it's kind of difficult to really put it together. But the more we go through the book of Revelation, the better picture we get of it, and the better understanding of the chronology, in the sense that it's not in chronological order, but we can put it into a chronological order. And that's what the calendar tries to do, I think. It also focuses in on a lot of information concerning timing, you know, as far as the date is concerned. And so there's a lot of dates that are targeted from the Bible itself, landing on particularly 1994 is the biggest one. Most of the dates, most of the numbers that fall in any one place, they fall on 1994. But there are other dates, of course, and also 1948, because that's when Israel became a nation, and that was the fig tree in leaf. Okay, so picking up on the third woe, seventh trumpet, and this is Judgment Day revealed ultimately. And we read, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their face and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and was and art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testimony, or his testament. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunders, and an earthquake, and great hail." Okay. Now, you know, when I read through this here, there's a lot of confusion, and it's just really, people haven't really dug deep enough, I think, in the Bible to really understand the book of Revelation. But there is a lot of confusion on the rapture. You know, we're going to see it clearly. We may already have seen it, but we'll see it, I think, in this study tonight, possibly, that the rapture is definitely the last day. Judgment Day is here. There is no literal thousand-year reign. And so a lot of people have put all kinds of things together, but they very quickly can be shown that they're in error. You know, if you get a particular doctrine and you go into Revelation, you can pretty well show, and using also Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, using those chapters and the book of Revelation, you can very quickly show the error of their way. It doesn't harmonize. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And again, the big mistake is many, many people think that Revelation is written in a chronological order, but it is not. Okay, so the seventh angel, we know that the number seven is the perfection of what God has in view. This angel sounding is probably the Holy Spirit, or it could be Christ. And there were great voices and in heaven. The kingdom of this world to become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So that's clear at this point that we are at the end of the world, and the next couple of verses here is going to make it even clearer. But the great voices in heaven, again, is declaring the end. Now, we read on, and the 24 elders, we've looked at the 24 elders, we saw that that's a total of 24, 24, which identified with the Old Testament and the New Testament, the 12 tribes representing the Old Testament, Israel, and the 12 apostles representing the New Testament, Israel. And Christ says, although there's two folds, there's really only one fold. Now, I know we looked at last night, we did look a little bit at the hour, and that hour of judgment. And again, the Bible looks at different things. There's a couple of different ways to look at the word hour that God uses it, but it's a period of time. And that's what's in view when he speaks about an hour. And that the 1 hour is that God speaks about, that God refers to the end of the world, is the hour of judgment. Then there is an hour when the harlot is left desolate, the corporate body is left desolate. So that God refers to that also as an hour. So there's the hour of judgment upon the corporate church, and then there's the hour of judgment upon the whole world, the actual last day when everyone is judged. And of course, the body of Christ has already been judged in the body of Jesus Christ himself. He's taken the place, paying for our sins. Okay, let me get back here where it was, voices. So we see the picture of the elders, they're ruling, the sit is the rule, on their seats, and they fell upon their faces and worshiped God. I'm not sure whether we saw the picture where they cast the crowns. That may be a little later on when the 24 elders give the crowns to Christ, and then we see him later on riding in a white horse with many crowns. But the first crown that he receives, which is the crown to make him king, and from God, that God gives him, and he has the ability to judge. So they that were sitting on their seats fell upon their faces, worship God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time to the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great." Now that, I think, is absolutely clear. It's judgment day. Nations God is referring to is the nations of the world, and judgment day has come. We read on, "And them that fear thy name, both small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth." Again, a picture of the corporate church, particularly in the sense of the earth. "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquakes and great hail." And we know this here, this temple of God now is in heaven itself. It's the body of Christ collectively with God himself, and it is the temple of the Lord. It's opened in heaven. Now, lightning, voices, thunders, earthquakes, hail, we've looked at all those words. They all identify with judgment, and so judgment is in view. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 56, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Okay, so again, you know, we see this is the last day. We're changed in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the seventh trumpet, which is what we're looking at, that is, and God talks about it beginning to sound. So there is a period of time of days. We spoke about this, I think, last week, that there is a period of days, and there's a period of time that God tells John not to write a certain thing. Obviously, he revealed something to John, and he was about to write, and the Lord said to John, do not write these things. Leave them out. So there's something, of course, he's not telling us. And so the last few days are going to be pretty traumatic for the world. We know that men's hearts will fail from fear of watching over that which is coming upon the earth, whatever that is. Could be the, and I think the entire universe is collapsing at this point. I think the stars literally will fall from heaven in the sense that they'll be destroyed, gone. Maybe they'll be destroyed by novas. Maybe we'll see all these stars just popping out, and the sun failing and the moon failing and so on. And then, of course, Christ coming. But, you know, we really don't know. We don't have the details. God does not give us those particular details. But he tells us to be ready and to watch, that we should not, you know, be caught unaware of what's going to happen. We should be prepared for this. And I'll tell you, anybody, I think, in my opinion, strong opinion, anybody who's not preparing for this at this moment in time and the moments from now until the end, if they're not preparing for this, it's going to catch them by surprise to begin with. And God says it shouldn't catch us by surprise. but of course, you know, there'll be young children that may be saved and infants that may be saved and certain people that may be saved that haven't been watching, don't have this knowledge for numerous reasons. So we can't put all that together, of course. But generally speaking, people, if they're Christians, they should be prepared. The signs are all out there. Even the signs in the earth, in the sense of what's going on in the world, the fact that something big is going to happen. Everybody seems to feel that, to see that. And we have knowledge of it. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 through 18. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of a chief messenger, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. It's a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of believers. And remember, when he's coming in clouds, this idea, well, let me finish this verse. Our alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, now this idea of clouds, again, in the Gospels, and we looked at this yesterday, we saw in Luke, where there are those who are risen from the grave, and we also saw a picture of this in John chapter 5, and we spoke a little bit about this. And I have done some studies in the past, I think I mentioned that yesterday too, and I'm kind of going through them to see, you know, if I need to make any corrections. And if I do, I'm going to post those studies. If I have to make any corrections, I'll make some notes maybe next to their MP3 studies. I'll make some notes next to them of what where I might have been in error back in those days. Because this go back to the late 1900s to the early 2000s. These studies, and I've got quite a few, and I also have a study on hours, and I have a study on time, and I think I want to try to get them up, maybe by next week. I'll see what I can do, or the week after anyway. I'd like to get those studies up, but I need to review through them, and I think they will help to enhance the study we're looking at, because they're much deeper in word studies. And And I also, we have had some conversations that are recorded. They're quite long, 2 or 3 hour long conversations with numerous people discussing Revelation and puzzling through and coming up with some possibilities of what this might mean or that might mean, and working things out throughout the Bible. There's a lot of those I'd like to post, but I think there's one particular which was involved with the hour, and I'd like to get that up too as soon as possible, but they'll get up. And then I got so many more. A lot of these word studies, I've done some in-depth studies on these words, and I'll post them too. Again, they're all MP3 studies. But again, I don't want to really post them too quickly without at least trying to review through them to see if I have any error. But we'll see where we go. There is a lot of studies that I've got. I mean, many, 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 many hours. Many, many discussions and different things that, again, will be very helpful in the book of Revelation. And also will give an insight on how we, you know, looked very deeply into the Word, trying to pull verses out in order to come to an understanding of, you know, again, particularly the book of Revelation. Let me see if I can find this. I think it's, yeah, here it is. Now I'm going to read this. Let me see how far I really want to go back on this. This is in John chapter 5. And we did look at this yesterday, but I do want to review it again. Because when we're looking at this cloud of witnesses, what I'm going to propose to you, and I do, I'm convinced pretty strongly on this point, but I'm proposing to the people that to look at this, that this picture of the clouds is definitely the believers. Now, in the Old Testament believers, and I mentioned this yesterday, when they died, they went into the grave and their bodies. And I don't think this. I'm not too sure about this. I need some more researching in the Bible on this one part of the conclusion. But I don't think that in their soul existence they went to be with the Lord, as far as the Old Testament believers were concerned, with the exception of a few. I mean, you know, Moses and Elias are two individuals. Enoch also is one taken by God. So we have three people, particularly in the Bible, we know that went in body and soul to heaven. But as far as the believers, those who were God's elect back in those days in the Old Testament, I think they went to a place of silence. And they remained there until the Lord was crucified, and at that point had victory. The Bible records the graves were open, and they visited. They came to the city of the city of Jerusalem. What was it? The holy city, and the holy city is the body of Christ. In other words, they revealed themselves unto many in the holy city, and then they ascended up to heaven. And now, body and soul, the Old Testament believers, I'm pretty convinced, is body and soul in heaven. And now, when the Lord returns, he's returning to bring judgment with Old Testament believers. And that's the cloud of believers. And then we also are caught up in the air. And let's go back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. Where we read, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The air is the place of conversation. And so in this fashion shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So now, of course, we have the second resurrection. Now, of course, not necessarily... Let's see how we can really say that. I don't think that's a proper way to say that. You know, the first resurrection is the resurrection of our sin-sick souls. We become born again, we receive our resurrected souls. Then at the last day, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in our soul existence. But the last day, then our bodies will be raised incorruptible. We which are alive, born again, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, putting off this mortality and putting on immortality. So we saw that picture quite clearly. So let's read now here in John chapter 5. And I know we read this yesterday, but I'd like to read it again. let me see, you know, maybe I'll pick it up from verse 19, which is when Jesus starts talking and answering. I'll pick it up, I'll pick it up in 19. Then Jesus answered, he's answering the Jews who sought to kill him. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, and even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Now this is where we're going to pick up in verse 24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, now, so there's one coming and there's one that is. That's the key thing. This is 2 hours that God is talking about. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given unto the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Now he's talking about the latter hour that he's referring to. The first hour, I believe, he's focusing in on the hour of resurrection of the Old Testament believers at the time when he destroys Satan at the cross, and salvation is now complete. So that would be on the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection on the Lord's Day, Sunday. let me go back. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear the voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that's when the last resurrection, the judgment day itself, when all people are judged. Again, remember, those who are coming with him, who are already in heaven, they're coming together with the clouds. But there is no judgment upon us either, because as soon as we see Christ in the clouds, coming in the clouds of glory, then immediately we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So anyway, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Okay, so I think I see two different pictures here, and I know we had a conversation about this some 20 years ago or so, and my conclusion hasn't changed, and others had different conclusions, and you know, so we try to work out to see if we can find harmony. We usually did, but from time to time there'd be some disagreements, and that's the way of life anyway. But again, you know, I'm going to see if I can't find those conversations and put them up, because I think they'll be helpful also. So let's get back here now. So we have this picture of the judgment day. This is the third woe, and it is the end. It is judgment day. Now we're going to move into Revelation chapter 12, and let's see how far we get into this. In Revelation chapter 12, we're going to cover the sun-clad woman, the great red dragon, the man, the child, Michael, and the blood of the Lamb. We read first of the sun-clad woman, which is the picture of the body of Christ, okay? And there appeared in heaven a great wonder in heaven, will, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Okay, so this is a picture of the body of Christ, particularly coming from the Old Testament into the New Testament. It's a picture of ready to give birth for the child that is going to be born is Christ, coming out of the body of Christ, born from the body of Christ, from the bloodline that God has set up. But we see this picture clearly. The woman is clothed with the sun. That's the light of the gospel. The moon is under her feet, so she's standing on the law. And she has crowns of 12 stars, identifying, again, in this case, with the 12 Old Testament believers. But also, I think we can identify, in the long run, of course, the 12 in the New Testament believers, too, which would be the 12 represented by the 12 disciples. And she, being with child, cried in birth and pain to be delivered. And I think this is going to become a little more obvious as we go into the next picture here, which is the great red dragon. This is the picture of the body of Satan, ultimately. This is Leviathan. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, why does God say that there's a great wonder in heaven? I think people for 2,000 years, and I think only recently we're kind of seeing this, I think they've misunderstood many things, like war in heaven. We're going to look at that now. And the war in heaven is identifying with what's going on the earth in the church and the heaven above the people, bringing forth a gospel. And in this case, at some point, you know, Satan brings forth his poisonous gospel. So there appeared another wonder in heaven. And that's in the corporate church, in the preaching, you know, in the area where the body of Christ is to be preaching, the heavens above, where the water comes down, baptized in the sprinkling of the gospel, the sprinkling of the water, which is a picture of the water, of course. So a wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Red identifies with blood, it identifies with judgment, and the dragon we know is Satan. We're going to come back and look at that. Having seen 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour the child as soon as it was born. So, we go back and let's take a look at the dragon. We know that the dragon is the devil himself. It's Leviathan, Satan. He's the viper. And also a picture of unsaved people. It's the body of Satan. We read in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." So clearly the dragon is a picture of Satan, Leviathan. In Jonah we read in chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now that identifies with Christ also in the sense of being in the belly of the earth. And the belly of the fish is identifying with the belly of the earth. Remember, the earth identifies with the corporate church. And when we get into the Gospels, it talks about the Lord being 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the heart of the earth identifies again, brings us to the birthing place, the womb, the heart. And so I think we're seeing a picture here with this great fish that swallowed up Jonah and then eventually spits him out onto land, dry land. Again, I think we're seeing a picture of this great fish being a picture of Satan also. But let's go further on. Acts chapter 28, 3 through 5. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire," this is after the shipwreck. This is in Acts, the end of the book of Acts. "There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer.' whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast unto the fire, and felt no harm. And I should have added the rest of this verse here. And let me go back into the book of Acts, and we'll add on to that, because I think 6 and 7 should have been added in here. So give me a minute to look it up here. Okay, we're in Acts 28. And look at verse 6. Okay, Acts 28 is the last book of Acts. And we're going to pick up in verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Okay. So again, this picture of Satan is a picture of this venomous beast, and the spiritual picture of really being taught here, the spiritual lesson, is the fact that we can be bitten by that false doctrine, by that poisonous gospel, and it would have no harm on us because it'll take no effect on us. We'd give no heed to it, so it wouldn't poison us, our thinking. Why? Because we're going to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures to see if these things are so as the Bible commands us to be as the Bereans. Okay, let's go into Titus. Chapter 1, 10 through 16. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. You know, I'm so surprised on how much teaching the Bible really focuses in on a constant falling away. It's constant from all the way, go back into Genesis, right up to Revelation, and people are constantly falling away. Anyway, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, say, the Cretans are always liars. Evil beasts, slow bellies, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, and turn from the truth unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work retrobate. Okay, so anyway, well, this picture here is the picture of the beast, which again is identifying with the sea monster. It's identifying with the corporate church. It's identifying with Leviathan. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 22, follow, I think this is the last one, here it is. Follow peace with all men and holiness without, with which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profound person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And I'd like to suggest strongly that this mountain that he's talking about is the mountain that God speaks of, that we should flee to the mountains. And fleeing to the mountains ultimately really is the high places, ultimately is your Bible. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels or messengers. Okay, this picture of the beast is a picture of Leviathan, dragon, Satan. It's the viper, it's unsaved people, which is the body of Satan. So the dragon stood before the woman. So let's just step back here a minute. The dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads identifying later on with the 7 mountains we're going to see. Well, we may have seen that earlier, but we're going to see the 7 mountains. But the 7 heads, okay, 7 is perfection. Heads identify with leadership. It's the head of the church. And in this case, of course, it's the dragon. And he has taken the leadership of the church. It's the perfection of his leadership. And the 10 horns, the horns identify with power. And the 7 crowns, again, identify with that he's a king. The kings of God speaks about the kings of the earth. And the kings of the earth are identifying with the false prophets and the false teachers and so on. But again, there's 7 crowns, there's 10 horns, 10 being the completeness, 7 being the perfection upon his head. And that picture is going to grow a little more as we get a little further down, maybe in another chapter when God gets into the 7 mountains. We're going to see that picture. I think it's in this chapter. Well, we'll get to it when we get to it, I guess. So, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, let's look at the tail. I don't think we've looked at the tail before. The tail identifies with the false prophet. It's the prophet that teacheth lie. He is the tail. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 13 through 16, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day, the ancient and honorable. He is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies. He is the tail. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they are led of them are and they that are led of them are destroyed. And Revelation, that's where we're at looking right now, in Revelation 12. But let's look at a little earlier, Revelation 9, and we'll see that identifying also with the tails of the scorpions. We read again, let's reread that, Revelation 9, 7 through 11. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And that's the key, their crowns like gold. And that identifies also with the crowns, the 7 heads and the 7 heads and 7 crowns, or was it 7 heads and 10 crowns? We'll look in a minute. But it doesn't say they were crowns of gold. But here it is identifying Satan's crowns as if they were like gold. They're not gold. It's fool's gold, if anything. They're not the kings of the king of kings. And their faces were the faces of men. So God is identifying them with men. And they had hair as the hair of woman, and their teeth was the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were the breastplates of iron, not the breastplates of righteousness. And the sound of their wings was the sound of many chariots running to battle. And they had tails like unto the scorpions, and there were stings in their tail. So again, the tails is the false prophets, and the stings in their tails is identifying with the poisonous gospel. And again, they are paralyzed by this poisonous gospel and imprisoned in a corporate church or in a prison, which is a prison. And the power was to hurt men 5 months, 5 being, in this case, identifying with the judgment. And again, it's not a literal 5 months. So 5 identifies with grace or judgment. And so the power is to hurt men, with judgment for a period of time. And they had a king over them. And therein is the one that wears the crown, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Okay, so the tail, is the false prophet. And so the false prophet, the dragon, okay, takes away, let's see how it puts. Let's go back to this. So seven crowns upon his head. So 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, not 10. And the tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Now remember, we've looked at the third before, and there are three thirds. God was always talks about one third, two third relationship. Oh, one third, one third, one third, breaks it up in different ways. Okay, and this third is identifying with the stars of heaven and were cast onto the earth. So it is the stars above the earth. It identifies with the wandering stars. Again, the false believers, the false teachers, the false prophets. Again, bringing us back into the corporate church and the stars of heaven. Again, the heaven above the people in the church, bringing the gospel like off the pulpit. And did cast them to the earth, to the corporate church. And the dragon, Satan, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So again, and remember, you know, the Old Testament church, if we might call it that, the nation of Israel, you know, they had gone apostate. And remember, God left them desolate. We read about that in the end of Matthew 24, I believe, we read about that. He departs out and leaves them desolate. So again, the same thing happens here at the end of the world, and we kind of have both pictures. When we read through the Old Testament, I think we can see that it identifies with the church of the Old Testament at its end and the church of the New Testament at its end. So let's look at the man-child now. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. That clearly is Christ. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's the ascension. And the woman, it's the body of Christ, fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So that's the 1,260 days. And that period of time is identifying, and again, that's 3.5. If you use the Old Testament reference to 30 days to a month, okay, so 12 times 30 comes to 1,260, well, actually 3.5. Let's see, the 1,042 months, that's what it comes out to be, which is the 1,260 days. Let me just make sure I got that. They feed her there feed her there 1,260 days. Yes, so it's 1,220. Now, we were looking at that 1,220. We saw it on the calendar, the 1,220. We looked at some verses with the 1,220. And this is identifying, again, which is a half a week. Maybe we can look at it from that perspective. It's 3.5 years, a half of 7, no matter how you put it, because the sevens. As a matter of fact, the word seven and week is the same word in both the Old Testament. Oh, I know in the New Testament. I think in the Old Testament also. But in the New Testament, when we see the number word that identifies with the number 7 or week, it could be interpreted either way. And we know that there are 7 days in a week. So anyway, we're seeing this picture here. Here is Christ. He's a rod of iron. The woman fled to the wilderness to feed her there for a period of time. That's the New Testament era. And then it goes on, and this is where I think a lot of people have gotten confused. And, you know, I myself, of course, didn't understand this for the longest time either. And when I was trying to understand Revelation, we did a lot of tripping at this point. We kept tripping in these verses. And it was war in heaven, okay? And many people think that has something to do with something, in the beginning, I guess. You know, I've heard different stories and ideas, but I remember hearing stories about there was war in heaven, and then Satan was cast out, and they teach that that's when Adam and Eve fell. But that's not so. It is clear here that God is speaking about there was war in heaven. The heaven that is there, war is in the church. That's where the war is. And Michael is Christ. We've looked at Michael before. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's his angels are the messengers, the body of Christ, fought against the dragon, against Satan, And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So clearly, again, a picture of Christ and the body of Christ, and the war in heaven again is where the gospel is being preached. Now, as we go on, let me see. Yeah, we'll go on. We'll finish these last two paragraphs. Okay, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So in other words, of course, when we become born again, we turn away from this world and look forward to the kingdom of God in eternity. So we love not our lives unto death. So, but again, we're seeing this picture. Now has come salvation. Now, when did salvation come? Salvation came in at the cross. That's when salvation came. And the strength of his kingdom and the power of his Christ, and that the accuser of a brother was cast down, which was accused before God day and night, and they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. That brings us on to the judgment day. Because remember, you know, Satan had a deadly wound, and it appears that it has been healed. And we're going to read that, about that a little later in Revelation. But he gets his deadly wound, and that deadly wound was healed, or appears to have been healed. And he was restrained. He was put he was bound in the bottomless pit. And for 1,000 years, same period of time as as a reference of time, it's not a literal 1,000 years, but the same idea was where Christ is reigning with us for 1,000 years, Satan is in that pit for 1,000 years. And where is that pit? It's in the earth. And where is the earth? It's in the corporate church. And where is the gospel? The gospel is the river Euphrates flowing through the earth, through the church. And that's where he's bound, and the river Euphrates gets dried up. We saw that a little earlier. And so we put that whole picture together, and it becomes, I think it becomes pretty clear what God is speaking about here. So let's go on. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Now the earth is the church, the sea is the world. And for the devil is come down unto you. When was he cast out? We saw the picture where Christ comes down with the key and opens up and looses Satan out of the bottomless pit. I think we saw that already. If we haven't, we'll be seeing it soon. But I'm pretty sure we saw that picture already. But he loses Satan. So, and of course, that again, he falls, it's wormwood. And I think that picture's coming up later, where he falls onto the waters, and the waters become wormwood. So we'll get into that picture later. But anyway, that's what God is picturing up here. It's a picture of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that his time, he hath but a short time. And when the dragon, Satan, saw that he was cast onto the earth, in the corporate church, the corporate body, he persecuted the woman, the body of Christ, which brought forth the man-child, Christ himself. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Now remember, an eagle is a fowl. An unclean bird, a fowl. But the idea of these two wings, okay, gives us that picture of where we see a picture in the Old Testament where God speaks about bearing us on his wings as the wings of an eagle. And it's the same thing here, is the picture of the wings of an eagle. The eagle identifying with the corporate church, but the wings have the ability to flight. And remember, as long as the control of the body of Christ is upon that eagle, so to speak, then as far as suppressing it, from a false gospel going out, then the true gospel continues. But again, the picture is identifying with the church, and always, always in the church is the unsaved, all the time. Remember, that's the courtyard. And the courtyard is the place where the gospel is preached. It's where the congregation is. It's where the gospel goes out from the pulpit and the heavens falling down onto them, living water. Or again, the picture of the river, particularly the Euphrates River. Okay, so great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short. But when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, brought the man child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time. That's three and a half, from the face of the serpent. Again, we're being brought to, again, to something that's three and a half, half of seven. God is identifying a period of time with a half of seven. And of course, the wilderness is the world, and the place prepared is the church. That's the New Testament church that God has prepared for them. So let me reread that last part. And to the woman were given two wings to identify with the church, of a great eagle, identifying with the corporate body, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for times and a half time, three and a half, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. It's a flood of false doctrines, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood of false doctrines. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. They swallowed the earth, the corporate body, the apostate church, swallowed up the flood of false doctrines, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that brings us, of course, to the ends of the world here. We're looking at the war, the Armageddon. And again, I believe I've mentioned this before, you know, Armageddon is in the end of the world, of course, is the picture that's being drawn here. It's the false Christ and false prophets. And it ends, and we see the picture of the four horsemen, the first one being Christ himself on the white horse, which is purity, and the horse identifying with the body of Christ, and Christ sitting on that horse. He has a crown on him, and a crown of gold, and he's going forth conquering it to conquer. And, of course, that's the church age, as we saw. Okay, but now, of course, we have the other horses, and they're identifying with judgment coming upon, until we have the gristle horse, which eventually brings desolation. Death and hell follow after the rider of that horse. And that, of course, is Armageddon. But in a personal sense, I think we're all spiritually, inwardly, are battling the battle of Armageddon, because we're warring the spirit against the flesh. And so I think we can see that picture, that we all go through Armageddon to a certain degree, at least inwardly, spiritually speaking, but definitely outwardly at the end of the world is the final climax of that entire thing. Okay, I see we've come to the end of our hour, and we've ended up here in 12. So we'll pick back up next week. In chapter 13, we're going to look at the first beast, and then, of course, right after that, the second beast, one coming up out of the world and one coming up out of the church. We're going to see those two different pictures, and we're going to look more at the horns and the crowns and what's going on at that time. Okay, with that, God bless everyone. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.